That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
All right, well, let's talk about Jen Shah.
Jen Shah.
Do you think Coach Shah knew what Jen was up to?
He had to have known to some degree.
I keep reading about it throughout the week, which of course I do every day, all day, because that's how I study. You know, a lot of people are already coming out, because usually it takes like a week and then people come out, like with Erica. Well, it's not so bad. I mean, she didn't know what her husband was doing, guys. Erica's the victim here. You know, it's like, give it a week and then the apologists start coming out. And that's kind of happening with Jen, where they're like, well, it's these telemarketer people, but it's not technically that bad, really. I mean, it's just telemarketing. We've all gotten those calls before. And it's like trying to kind of downplay what she does. And I would imagine that as a spouse, that he was probably doing that too. Like, it's not the most glamorous job in the world. You're calling, you know, old people and trying to scam them out of insurance or whatever. But it's a living.
It's going to be like, oh, we had bad advice from our lawyers. They said that this is a totally feasible business plan, because she did paint herself as someone who's really dependent on Coach Shah to sort of get through, you know, like the Starbucks drive-through line, right? Like, I just need a pep talk. I just need a pep talk before I get my frappuccino, Coach Shah. I just need this. I need this right now. And so, like, she needs him for everything. So then I don't think it's going to really, it'll ring a little hollow if it's like, I need him for everything, but I did not include him whatsoever in any of my business dealings. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. Yeah. I find that too. Did you see the latest news was that, so apparently Jen Shah was arrested in a Meredith Marks jacket.
Yes.
And Meredith Marks put it out today that she did not sell her that jacket. There's no record of her selling that jacket to Jen Shah. So I'm like, what does that mean?
Thank God. I was concerned because I was thinking about getting some Meredith Marks couture, and then I was like, wait a second, a criminal wears that? I don't think I could ever wear a Meredith Marks jacket ever again. And so now that she's distanced herself, I feel very comfortable in purchasing that high quality design.
Well, that happened because a lady on Twitter, I think her name is Karen McWhitey Whiteface or something. I'm sorry I got your name right, Karen McWhitey White. But I think it was her. She went into the store and was talking to one of the employees, and one of the employees supposedly said, oh yeah, Jen got arrested in a Meredith Marks coat. Meredith is upset. So this lady came on and put that story on Twitter, and then people are like, how dare you dox somebody? And now that poor girl probably lost her job. And it was like, huge drama. No, actually, so of course I followed every tweet. You know, it's like, oh girl, we're standing up for the sales girl. You know, like everybody's going crazy. And then Meredith is like, well, you must have some wrong information, because that was not a Meredith. No,
so it was not. I am angry that she was arrested in a Meredith Marks jacket, because we had an agreement that if she was ever to get arrested, she would promise to wear a Brooks Marks tracksuit. That is what
Do we think Brooks Marks' next item that he designs is going to be an orange jumpsuit with like Brooks Marks?
No, it's going to be an orange jumpsuit that actually says Jen Shah.
Depends what he can find in Chinatown and put a label on.
Now, this assistant Stu was also caught with Jen, or arrested with Jen. Stu Chains. I have a theory that Stu was actually the mastermind behind the whole operation.
Don't play into Jen's bullshit. You're already buying her bullshit, and she hasn't even put it out there, Noor.
This is
okay?
Such an anti-feminist podcast. Why can't a woman be the fake?
I know. That's what I've been fighting with her. Why would you take that away?
Just because Stu looks like every Disney villain you've ever seen in a cartoon that took place in the Middle Ages,
he looks like Albert Manzo.
Doesn't mean he leads the whole.
Yeah, conspiracy. I'm like, a brown woman can do a white collar crime. Okay, why would you take that away from us? That's something. No, that's an accomplishment.
Okay. I'm not saying that Jen is not at fault. Okay. She's an asshole and she definitely knew exactly what she was doing. But I just don't, if you read into all of it, you have to have these encrypted messages and there's these bank accounts and you can't go over a certain amount. Like, I just
can't
imagine this woman.
Like WhatsApp. You know what I mean? It's not like,
that's true.
You know, it's not like Sandra Bullock in The Neck.
No, it's Signal.
Hacking. They're literally just using WhatsApp to talk.
But, you know, I just can't imagine Jen ever being like smart enough to do that, because like she couldn't even talk about her feelings in like an intelligent way. So I can't imagine her.
What sold it for me is when it was explained like this. It's basically like an MLM. Well, that word keeps coming up. MLM people, I'm telling you. And I know a lot of you out there are in them. I'm not talking about you. I love your plug and glade He's or whatever the fuck you're selling right now. I'm talking about these Housewives ones. Yes, you, Monique.
And Whitney.
Oh, is Whitney too? Well, it's something like that where you hire other people. You have teams and those teams have teams. Mm-hmm. And then you're selling those leads to these teams. And it was described to me by social media that it's at the top of, she was like the top of her pyramid in that whole thing. Mm. So it's not like she came up with it. I think it was something she stumbled into and just, you know, wanted to be.
That's true. That could be possible.
Your business structure looks like a pyramid and you're up to shady things.
If
you're in telemarketing and your business structure looks like a pyramid, guess what? You're probably in a pyramid scheme.
And you know, and these pyramid schemes and the MLM scheme, they actually get like big folder with instructions and all of that. When you start
Is
your pyramid, they get, they get the binders with instructions. So they know exactly what to do, and then they don't have to necessarily come up with it.
Right. Yeah. No. They don't sound natural. Like the one they were saying that was a recording of Jen, which I don't think was a recording of Jen, but it was going around on the internet, and it was like, you need to call right now for your car warranty because it is over. And so you need to call us at 1-800-something-something. Okay. And it was kind of sounded like her, maybe. But, you know, it's obviously just a script they're passing.
Yeah.
You're not going to get your car warranty fixed, and you're going to go hang out with that girl who sleeps with her grandfather? Grandfather, why can't you take care of your car warranty? I was like, I think that's Jen Ha.
Yeah. Do you think it's okay? I mean, this just came out, is that Bravo is going to continue letting her film, because she's all over social media now. Yeah. She's all over social media.
Yes,
she's
please.
Doing hashtag free Jen Shah. She is out there with her Shah squad. She got her hair done for her arrangement.
Teresa could get like 5 seasons of like sympathy cameras while she was complicit with Joe Giudice. Jen Shah should be able to get the rest of her season.
I was cracking up the other day because, you know, the Free Britney documentary came out. And so everybody was talking about that. Then Britney came out with a thing like, y'all, !3. I just like having !fun! It's been so hard, smiling. Okay, so that happened. And then Jen Shah thing happened, and she's doing free Jen all over hashtags. And then I turn on the Instagram, and Catherine Dennis is sitting there, and she's wearing a Free Britney shirt, and it says Free Catherine. I'm like, okay, all the villains of Bravo need to stop trying to steal poor Britney Spears' hashtag. Like, hasn't Britney Spears
it was
been hurt
Teresa's enough? Hashtag first. It was Free Teresa and Free Countess Lou, Free Tree, and then Free Countess Lou. I mean, listen.
Oh, what about Free Uncle Ben?
is Peter?
Uncle Ben from Potomac.
Uncle Potomac.
Yeah. I was like, what happened to Peter? Yes. They finally bust him for Peter's brew.
But I think that the moral stuff with Bravo, like, guys, remember where we are. I don't mean you guys. I mean the audience. Yeah. You're going to get rid of Jen Shah. Give me a break. But Mary's okay. Like, Mary's totally fine. Yeah. She runs a cult and she fucks your grandpa. Okay.
But it's like, a church is not a corporation. They don't pay taxes. So they cannot be blamed for not paying taxes. So that's how she gets out of it.
That's true. That's a pyramid scheme that's like blessed, you know?
Yes.
Exactly.
Listen, I can't believe you're saying these things about Mary and her white husband. Okay. Like, this is, this is honesty at its.
Why
at
do you think Mary sat in the closet all season long? She was like, no, they can't find me here. The FBI won't find me here.
Yeah. Or she was just, you know, refusing to put down that Christmas tree. But also, I think that, I saw a really funny tweet. A really funny tweet today that said something about her. It was something about you guys. I totally forgot. I stuttered myself out of existence.
About Mary.
What was
there? Something about Mary.
It was something about Jen Shah. Oh, it said, for those of you thinking Bravo is going to hold Jen Shah accountable, guess what they played instead of Below Deck all day today?
Salt Lake City.
Yeah, so don't think for 1 second. And I was like, what an astute tweet. Because of course,
but that's
Bravo. Bravo loves this shit.
Of course. And that's why I actually feel like when people are saying that on Twitter, like Bravo has to hold her accountable, or who are these people? We need to, like, Bravo is getting terrible, terrible people. Like, you want to get like good, decent people, you're going to wind up with, I don't even know what you're going to wind up with. But I feel like with our podcast, if you're going into, if you're watching Bravo with a perspective that people on Bravo should be good people and that we shouldn't have any narcissistic, criminal, obnoxious, self-involved, sometimes like,
yeah, you're on the wrong, like, you're
emotionally
on the wrong
abusive people. And... you're listening to the wrong podcast, because that's that's what we find funny, is that these people are operating in a civilized society. They're doing what we wouldn't do, that we would never do. And if there is a, there's a rubbernecking quality about it where you're like, are they really acting that way?
When people were boycotting Orange County, I was cracking up because they're like, well, we're boycotting Orange County because Kelly Dodd is spreading misinformation about masks. I was like, you don't want to watch Kelly Dodd yell at masks for a whole season? Because I do.
Yeah.
That shit sounds amazing.
And then at the end of the season.
Stupid! Yeah. Like, wear the diaper on your face! You know, I was like, this is, I live for this idiocy.
Yeah, and literally, like, all those people who were like, I'm not going to watch it because of Kelly Dodd, by the end of the season, they're like, well, you know, Kelly Dodd's like, okay, but Bronwyn's the real problem. I was like, she's the one who's actually wearing the mask.
It really did work out like that. It was funny, because Bronwyn was supposed to be the one we all liked, because Bronwyn came on with her, like, I'm the wokest white lady you will ever, ever see in your entire life. I'm so woke. Like, every single thing she did was like, oh, now I'm gay, too. It's like,
yeah.
Now I'm, it's like, okay, Bronwyn, you know. And she ended up being the one by the end. It was like, oh, so she's performative woke, but at least Kelly's real. You know, she's still a monster. I don't think it ended when anyone thought, wow, Kelly's really Cinderella. But at least she's real. And we can all relate to probably someone like that in our lives. She's like, Corona, that was just invented so Biden could get in office. Second Biden is in there. There ain't going to be no such thing as Corona anymore. You watch.
Yeah. I hate to tell you guys this while you're on the podcast, but I don't believe in coronavirus. So,
It's a hoax. It's a hoax.
Yeah, it is.
We all know that.
Yeah, that's why you got the vaccine before everybody else.
No,
before,
I just went to Rails.
She wanted to know what it would feel like to have a microchip.
Every other old person in New Jersey got vaccine. Noor was right up front getting a
vaccine. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't watch OC just because we didn't care about it. We found it to be boring. We didn't want to watch Kelly Dodd. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the other thing people need to remember is, like, it doesn't have to be a whole boycott. Like, you can just choose to not watch a show because you don't really care about it anymore.
Right.
It's totally fine. You don't have to watch every single thing on Bravo to be like part of the club about, like, I like Housewives. Mm. There's like a million other, like, international Housewives franchises that I haven't seen, but I'm still doing this podcast. It doesn't mean that, like, I don't, like, I enjoy what I enjoy and I want to talk about it. And I think that's another thing that people get really boxed into is, like, I need to consume every single thing and it needs to fit exactly into what I accept morally and ethically. And it's like, it doesn't have to be black and white. Just don't watch it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Certainly, we think that there should be a better vetting process against, you know, the T-Ravs. And if you're like a racist, like,
well, like raping, you know, being a rapist and, like, you know, mentally, emotionally abusive to women, or like Tamara Barney's son putting murder trans people and shit like that on his you know, there's stuff that, and I'm not saying that just because it's like an LGBTQ issue or whatever. It's that's bad.
There's stuff that's,
you know, like, there's something
that's evil. Like, there's evil, right, and there's
evil. There's like, we don't think, I don't necessarily think that Brandy should have been brought back to Dallas, but I am also sort of understanding the reason why she's there, because I think that it does give a moment for people to be like, oh, I didn't think that the way that she's acting was that bad, but I understand by how the internet is talking about it that I can learn from this person, right? So I think that you can find that, but I believe that Bravo should include, like, credit checks as the vetting process, where, like, if you have a really low credit credit score the lower your credit score is, but the more expensive shit you own, I think that that makes you like an instant housewife, because that just shows me that you're like an actual crook, and I want that. Like,
I
don't think you should be like an abusive person, but I think that you should just be like a fake rich person. And what I love, that's why I love New Jersey, to be honest.
By the way,
surrounded by it,
speaking of International Housewives, by the way, I love your Melbourne. I wish Melbourne, you would do Melbourne again. And, you know, that was the best with Gina and all of them. But did you hear that the Joburg Housewife show got canceled? Completely canceled.
Just read that.
No, because two of the women beat up a third woman, beat the shit out of her.
Someone said that they beat her really badly, and then they went to their car to change their shoes and come back and beat her up some more.
Oh my God! Why are we laughing?
No, we don't like it's that. Terrible.
Because,
we don't like
because
that.
It's so Housewives. It's like, you wait, I'll be right back. I gotta get better kicks for this one. All right.
I actually like it when there are opportunities to address the problematic behavior. I think it was good that they brought Brandi back and they actually have held her feet to the fire. I think these are good things. Mm-hmm. These are conversations that need to be had. Andy even said in an article that he's like, I like bringing people back and holding their feet to the flames and seeing what happens. You know, speaking of the international ones, one of the trickiest episodes that we ever had to recap was the episode of Real Housewives of Auckland. The N-word was used, and that was very, very intense. And, you know, obviously we weren't making any jokes about that, but we had a really good conversation.
Yes, we were. I was.
I mean, we had jokes. We made jokes.
I mean, like little ones. That obviously wasn't funny, but yeah, like,
I think we can't hide from that. We can't hide. Yeah. We have to face it head on because there is such a big podcast community and that has grown up, especially over the past year. And you know,
that was bad.
It's important for things to be addressed. Yeah. I actually kind of think too that like when they're not addressed, that sometimes these people just like then go off and then are like embraced by a terrible fringe. And I would rather have people learn and change than to just like necessarily banish them and then they become like, you know, like held up by, you know, Candace Owens as like
what they are, you like, know, and that's how it fired. Happens. Yeah. You know, like Kelly Dodd got the whole like far right group with her now, who's always fighting for her on her Insta. And then you've got Brandi, who's got like the, you know, like the real devout Christian ladies fighting, like, how dare they, you know, you're just dealing with these sinners. You've got that on her Instagram, and then you've got the Jen Shaw's like, you're a badass, don't you listen to any, you know, everybody's got like their niche that will always fight for them no matter what. It's pretty crazy.
I would like things to be used as like a teachable moment, but again, this has to be said, I am a white male, and so my perspective on it is different than someone who maybe has been on the receiving end of some of these things, and they're like, I don't want to see you anymore. You know, so I have to respect that.
I think that there's such a huge space to talk about these shows. Like it's not like it was 10 years ago where you only had a couple of people talking about it, or if you like went out and see like a blog. Now there's such a huge community all over social media and then in the podcasting area of people just talking about the lessons that they're learning from these shows. It's not just we're first of all, nobody is aspirational. Okay, everybody's generally garbage.
Caroline Fleming is aspirational.
That's true. But like there's such a conversation that happens. And I think even with Brandi, I do like the fact that like for us, it was hard for us to watch it initially because we felt really triggered by like the microaggressions. But it's kind of given us a reason to talk about our own experience, right? Like we get on the podcast and we talk about what's going on with Tiffany and what she's experiencing. And we compare that to what we've experienced. And it kind of became like a healing moment for us. And I wish, you know, Tiffany didn't have to go through that on camera.
Alone.
But Tiffany probably also does go through that on a daily basis because that's just what immigrants go through. Right. And I think that it becomes like a learning moment for you and it becomes like a talking point. And now Housewives has become like, you know, cooler talk. Like nobody goes to the office anymore. But when you did, if you had a coworker that watched Housewives, you would stand there and talk to them about it. It's not just consumed as just a thing that you watch. Everyone's talking about these things. So learning something from it just seems like a cool opportunity. Of course, not allowing spaces for actual monsters. But like, I'm excited for New York because I want to see people like Ramona, who is a certified monster, be in an uncomfortable position because we have people in our lives that are like that, even brown people. Okay, we got the aunties and they are all Ramonas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. If I could repeat any of the stuff that I heard growing up from like the Barbanese, I was like, oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the white side and the Lebanese side. The grandparents on both sides, it's just like, please stop. Please.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to cringing many, many, many times this season on Real Housewives of New York.
The overly triggered, you know, on the overly triggered subject, the reason I'm kind of against, and look, I'm not really against cancel culture per se, because I think a lot of what has been canceled has been needed to be canceled for so long. Mm-hmm. But I also think that people trying to get rid of every single thing, you don't get rid of that mentality. You don't get rid of people like Brandy's jokes. Like, they're still there and we have to deal with them every day. You can't just say triggered. It's like content warning. You don't have those in real life. Those are people that you see in real life. You're going to have to talk to them one day. We're going to have to talk to people who are like, well, I like you. I mean, you're nice, but I've never known a gay guy before, but you're fine. You know, I mean, I don't think you should have the right to get married because that's just for, you know, for men and women. But yeah, I mean, you're going to burn in hell. But I like you, brother. I like it. It's like, I don't get to just say, I'm triggered. I don't have to deal with that anymore. You deal with it because it's real life, you know? And these stupid shows put that stuff right in front of your face. And it's just like real life. Now, you don't just have to take it. You can say, fuck you, Brandy. But I thought the best thing about the Brandy stuff was that the last season ended with Brandy bringing out that folding chair. Yeah. Leanne, take your chair so we can all tell you how you made us
That's
sit
right.
in your face.
And then you see it all turns this year.
Yeah, that has been interesting. But who knew that Bravo is going to become the learning channel right now?
Well, because we are
learning from Bravo, man.
Yeah, they had to. You know what? I think we were all very worried about how Southern Charm was going to be, and I was very, very impressed that they dealt with what Catherine did head on and repeated. It wasn't just a very special episode. It was actually a season-long thing, and I thought they actually did a great job in addressing that and not sweeping it under the rug, as they have also not done with Dallas. I think with Dallas, they've also not swept it under the rug. Mm-hmm. Everything has been head-on. They're not protecting their stars in that way. I think it's actually moving in a really good direction, and, you know, I think, you know, everyone's gonna have to listen. If you want to cancel Brandy, then cancel Brandy. But like, everyone can cancel.
I canceled her in my heart a long time ago. You know,
cancel what you want to cancel. But like, let's, you know, just everyone has a different relationship to all these people, and you know, I think you don't just have to sort of allow space for people to have their own reactions to their awful Bravo celebrities.
Yeah. And in a year where we've talked so much about like having uncomfortable conversations, I think it is interesting to see those uncomfortable conversations or scenarios played out on TV and then talking to people about how they reacted to it. And I think this like goes to the point of we're watching these people because there's something relatable about them. And I think that the same way people get annoyed because somebody who's relatable to them is being annoying on TV, I think they can also get really defensive when somebody relatable to them is being attacked on TV.
Absolutely.
I think our emotional reaction to all of this is what makes like talking about it so much fun. I mean, that's what kind of makes it therapeutic too.
It's I agree.
Bravo is that we're having the conversations about it after, you know. And the stuff with Brandy, I mean, really, like, I'm going to sit here and say I've never done a completely offensive impersonation of, really? Like, I'm not going to throw that stone because of course I have been there. Like, and it's public, you know, and you just, when it goes, you know, I've had to like learn different, like what is offensive and what's not, like what is okay and what's like hurtful to somebody else, you know, like what is somebody else going to take as me being a racist against them or hateful towards them, as opposed to me like, you know, spoofing them and making it fun, which is what I do, you know. And so have I ever made an Asian voice? Of course I have. Like, there's been multiple characters in sketch and comedy, like the Mad TV lady, Mrs. Swan, you know. But the thing that made it a little different with Brandy was when she was confronted about it, she just was like, that's your problem. And then she was adding SNL, like, see, this is funny, SNL. And now she's acting like, I was always mortified by this thing. And so I think that that's what makes it just even grosser with Brandy is like, you know, you should be able to be told like that was gross and internalize it and be like, why was it hurtful, you know, and then make a change from a real place instead of just being like, oh, you're being mean to me now and I'm going to be a huge victim. So now that I can get attention and kind of turn this, it's just gross, you know? And I think it goes beyond like this simple video into the way that she reacted to it.
Yes.
That made it really gross. Absolutely.
I appreciate that she acknowledges that she did something wrong, but she has, I think though that she has not, I wouldn't say that she's not been a star student of of learning how to like not make it about not
rehab.
Centering yourself in it and like like othering people. She still has a ways to go. But it's been, I've been finding that to be a pretty fascinating storyline on Dallas. But you guys, I actually unfortunately have to go. Mm-hmm. So, but thank you so much for having us on the pod. I like how I'm like wrapping up your own podcast.
Ronnie, would you be able to stick around for a little bit? We have like a couple questions. Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. You guys come as a package deal.
You guys can talk shit about me. It's okay.
It's been my dream. Bye, Ben.
Oh my God.
I see the stage.
Well, love you, Ben. Yeah, hope to see you
soon. Thank you guys so much for having me, and congrats on the podcast.
Thank you so much. We will take a quick little break, and then we'll be back in a little bit with mailbag questions with Ronnie. So Ben had to go, but we're here still with Ronnie. And Ronnie, we had a bunch of sort of rapid fire, but not really, just like hypothetical questions, just like general Bravo questions.
Imagine, think of it as mailbag for Crappins.
Yeah, like a Crappins mailbag. Okay. Yes, exactly.
Whose boobs are bigger? Ronnie's or Ben?
I was writing the questions down, and I was like, I keep reading them in Andy voice, and I really fucking hate it. Okay. All right. So we got lots of jailbirds on Bravo now, right? We've got Jen Shah, Erica, and Teresa. Now, if you went to prison, whose prison bitch would you be?
Whose prison bitch would I be? Not Jen. I would have to eliminate, I think. Jen? No. Hell no. She's terrifying. Teresa might be okay. She's at least funny. And I could be like, here's what grammar means. You know, like we could pass the time with that.
She would be making you do yoga all the time.
Which I could totally, I would go to jail for the working out, you know?
Yeah.
Like I've licked a raw chicken before to try and get sick. Like I really, like anything.
Same.
Yeah, I need
some
help.
You would come out of jail doing the bodybuilding thing and flexing your butt.
I'd be like, this is living, bitch.
Isn't it funny that we're like, fuck Teddy, she's trying to get people sick, and we're like, well, we'll also lick the ground to get, you know, a tapeworm.
I would. There used to be stuff you used to be able to supposedly mail order tapeworm, but I could never.
Yes.
I could never.
Ooh, you know that? Yes.
Yeah. I was always looking for that.
Yeah. We're not endorsing it, just FYI.
Erica, I think, is probably Teresa, actually, believe it or not. Because I think Erica's just not, I don't think Erica would like me very much. Whereas Teresa, you know, Teresa would be like, huh? What? Was that a joke? Huh? But I don't think she would hurt me, you know?
I love that.
Teresa would probably be able to make something out of, you know, she probably would find some friends inside to give her kitchen that she could probably cook food and have her gourmet recipes.
She's like a girl's girl, you know, and like girls.
Yeah.
And she like really got along with everyone in prison. When she came out, she was posting like pictures with her and her girls, you know, and didn't she have one of them on the show where she's like, yeah, we met inside, or maybe it's on the preview for this season. She's like friends with them all. It's like when Martha Stewart went and learned to make a poncho with her friends.
Yeah.
You know, some people just do better.
And she came out, she was so changed. She was like friends with Snoop Dogg
and like smoking pot and stuff. Yeah, it was great. Okay, so we had this question before when we first got introduced to Jen Shah and she started, you know, breaking glasses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Leanne Locken versus Jen Shah. Okay, hand-to-hand combat. Who do you think wins?
Leanne.
Yeah.
Leanne, because Jen is kind of makes up that person. Well, apparently not. Apparently it is pretty real seeing some of those hidden camera footage or that hidden camera footage. But Leanne, you cannot invent growing up in a carnival. You know what I mean? Like that's
you cannot match with that carny hands.
Yeah, there's no like I came from a great big family and all the stuff that Jen has where she was telling the romantic story of how she met her husband and how she showed up at a club with her entire family there to support her and he had to buy them all dinner. That's not Leanne did not have that. You know, Leanne will kill you for like half a tank of gas. you know, definitely Leanne.
And Leanne is more like, the way I thought of it was like, Leanne is more like a cockroach. Like, you could knock her down, but she'll get right up.
Yeah.
She, like, you turn around and she's right there. She's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
She's indestructible.
She still is. She still is. She's still all over.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll probably end up on some show at some point, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Her face tune has been off the chains on Instagram. Like, she keeps posting pictures. My favorite thing to do on Instagram is when a new housewife posts a picture and they've got work done or their face tune is really good, I just repost it in my stories and I say, Dorit looks great, like, regardless of who it is. But, like, Leanne right now, I'm like, I don't know who you are. Like, her face tuning is insane. And she keeps doing it to Rich, too. So, like, I feel like pretty soon he's going to have an eye and, like, not a patch. And she's going to act like she's always been there.
He's going to have one of those big doe eyes from Snapchat or whatever. But I have to say, I don't really understand people's real faces anymore. Like, I'll go to a Home Goods now and be like, oh my God, everyone here is just hideous. What is wrong with everybody? Like, everyone's jowls all hanging out. I'm like, get some help, people. Thank God I can't see myself.
Yeah, it really fucks you up watching all these Bravo shows too. And then also on Instagram, there's so many filters that you're like, I'm beautiful in my phone.
I know. I've been trying to figure out how to use them this way. Like, on the webcam, I downloaded a Snapchat camera or something, but it's for programmers and that never worked. I mean, I've spent hours trying to figure out how to put filters on my phone. But, you know, I just don't believe in that because people will eventually see me in real life. Like, don't ever use, you know, I don't. One time I used a picture that was really old in a Tinder or whatever. And so I went on a date and just the look on the person's face, the guy's face when he showed up. I mean, he didn't barf or anything, but he was definitely like, you know, there was definitely like this shit again, you know. And I don't ever want to see that again. I'd rather post it like this.
Just like laying down. I think the most horrifying thing is when you're scrolling on your phone and you go to Instagram and it automatically takes you to like making stories and it's the face camera. You're like,
and not to get too graphic, but like sexually, like, I know what I look like in that way. And I'm like, how has anybody ever been under me? And like taking that seriously, it's horrifying.
Like, yeah. Oh, when that happens, I go to my husband and say, thank you. Thank you for loving me. I don't know how you love me, but thank you. I look hideous. Oh, but thank you.
Do you think that Lindsay would be amazing on Roni? Lindsay from Summer House? Because we think that she would be fantastic.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see Lindsay. I can see Lindsay doing that. I think that it's really rough when they mix the younger and the old. I think it's so difficult. Like, it's really difficult. Mm-hmm. What's her buzz? In there. Leah. I think it's a really difficult mix, and especially not having Tinsley there anymore. It's weird to watch. And I don't think it all has to be like, they either have to fire the old people or hire young people, but she would definitely need somebody else there to partner with, you know, not just Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
Leah was there or something like that. I think it would be good.
Yeah. We imagine it being where Leah and Lindsay are supposed to be friends because they're in like the similar age group, but Ramona, just to piss Leah off, would take Lindsay under her wing just to irritate Leah, and then that would cause problems between Leah and Lindsay, and Ramona just out of spite would just fucking love Lindsay, like, because Lindsay's like, you know, Lindsay's cute. Ramona would say like, oh, you remind me of my daughter Avery, or you remind me of myself in the city. Like, she would do all that shit.
She does remind me of Ramona as a young Ramona. She's just like her if you think about it. Oh, that's creepy. I haven't really thought of that. Yeah. Like, she even did her fake pregnancy storyline last week. Like, Am I pregnant?
In her white pants. Okay, like, no girl who's like Mr. Period is wearing white pants just waiting for like, shut up, bitch.
She has the parental issues like Bethany does, the mother abandoning her issues like Bethany does. And she speaks and talks and behaves a little bit like Heather. Just like Heather was trying to fix Bethany by feeding her, Lindsay is like trying to fix Kyle. But let's focus on your favorite things, right? Sharks,
family.
Friends, family. Yeah. Good. Let's do that. You know, so Lindsay is like a very, very much that. So I think I think Lindsay would be awesome on Roni if she could.
Yeah, I think that's a really good call, actually.
Yeah.
We met Lindsay at the New York show. You guys were at that one, yeah? That one in New York where we went to Pizza Beach after?
One that Hannah was on?
No, I went to the one that Hannah was. I never got to meet Lindsay.
Yeah, I was there for the Hannah one.
Yeah, this was, I think, the first one. And Steven, the Summer House people, was it the first one? I think it was.
Right,
yeah.
We were there.
It was like the first season of Summer House. And so Steven and Lindsay, I mean, Steven listened, and I think he made Lindsay listen a couple of times or whatever. And so she did the Pizza Beach thing. So she hooked us up a party at Pizza Beach. And I was like, thank you for being so nice. Like, I'm so rude to you, and I can't believe that you're so nice to me. And she's like, oh, you know, it's a joke, whatever. And so at the end of the night, I was like, well, let me walk you out. So I walked her to her car or the cab or whatever. And she's like, well, just so you know. And like kind of let me have it. And I was cracking up. I was like, you're seriously getting pissed off at me in front of all these people? Because, you know, it's like all the listeners were out there like, what's she going to do? It's like, I'm going to let you know I am not desperate. And this woman made herself. Okay. Putting in me shit. I did this for me. And I was like, you go, girl. You know, I'm like cheering as a fan. Like, you go, Lindsay. Love you. Can't wait to make fun of you next week, Lindsay. Like,
she almost fireman carried Kyle away from the door during the fight, if you notice. So I feel like Lindsay would be really good at like picking up Sonia and like getting her to bed, because Lindsay's apparently super strong.
ROTC. ROTC training.
Speaking of Kyle, but a different Kyle, we know that there's a list of women, housewives specifically, not just saying women that you hate sounds really mean.
I know. I just always say, don't worry, there's also shots of sunset. You know, we just happen to talk about so many women because they're this show. But I'm like, don't worry, I'm not a misogynist. I hate everybody.
Yeah. But there's, you know, characters on Bravo that you really hate. And we came up with three. And we want to know which one upsets you the most. Tamara, okay. Kyle, or Brandy?
That's the trifecta. Right there. That is like the satanic trifecta to me. Those, if you asked me the worst of all time, it's those. Because they're just not nice people. They're horrible. Yeah. Kyle betrays everybody. She betrayed her own sister and did all of that shit. Then she betrayed Lisa Vanderpump, which I know that Lisa has a dwindling fan base, but look behind me, would you, at the Lisa Vanderpump? Oh, you can't see it. It's at the end. Can you see it?
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah.
I don't care. I love her. Kyle sucks. But I would say she's the house that we can take off the market in house centers, okay? So it would be between Tamara and who's the other one? Brandy. Brandy's the worst.
We add Reza to the mix just to keep it interesting?
Reza's the worst. I think Reza's the worst on Bravo in general. I think he encompasses the worst of women and men and gay men all in one hairy little ball.
He's so angry. He makes me so upset.
He's just so gross.
Never.
He's the worst.
Oh god, he blows. And from day one. Yeah.
Brandy, I think, because she reminds me so much of just how I grew up, and I'm still really close with my family and everything, but just that hypocritical religious, and it's not religious, it's the hypocritical religious people just really, really bug me, you know, or the victim, like every time they get caught something, they start crying and saying things like suicide. Like, I hate that. Mm-hmm. And that's not to take away, maybe she really does have that and that's a real issue, but I just don't like that. It's like, you know, just say you're sorry. Don't make it like, oh, you getting mad at me has made me so upset that I might hurt myself. It's like, shut up. You're the wrong one here, man.
Yeah, I think Brandy, we always say this is like, Brandy is not actually, like, I'm not saying that she was never suicidal. I've talked about it. I've dealt with suicidal depression before, but like, she's not focusing on what was it that caused people to be mad at her for her to then feel isolated, to then be spiraling down. Instead, she's just focusing about the fact that people are mad at her, so she's sad. And it's like, what? Wait, but like, we're mad at you for a reason and you're not focusing on that. And it's like, I'm a victim because you got mad at me.
And that makes me crazy, because I think that a lot of people are doing that right now, because we are kind of going through a period of growth in this world. Hopefully we're going through a period of growth where we're thinking about things a little bit more seriously, and we're trying to take people's feelings more into account. Right. And I think that people really abuse that. And so if they're in trouble, they're like, well, you can't say anything if I say I had suicidal thoughts. You can't say anything. You know, I'm sure people are cringing right now with me even saying that, and I get it. I probably wouldn't even say this on Watch What Crappens. Have fun with that.
We've made similar things.
Yeah, it's like you can't say anything because I say it's like blocking you. Or like when Jen, like we talked about earlier, was in trouble and she brought up like racism. It's like it doesn't discount the fact that you've ever experienced it, but the way that you're bringing it up is not cool. And I think that people are using that kind of stuff as a weapon right now, and it's really hurtful to the people who do suffer from all of that stuff.
Brandy,
because I think I would actually Tamara's a disgusting person and Kyle's a disgusting person, but I've always said if I met them in real life I would probably love them. Like I'd probably really get along with both of them. I could see myself going out and having fun with them. Brandy,
she's not your sister in Christ. All right, let's shift gears to Jersey. So, you know, I'm from Jersey. I love watching the Jersey cast at the Shore. This season, we're seeing two Shore houses. Whose Shore house would you stay at, Dolores or Melissa? I know you hate Melissa, but
I actually don't hate Melissa anymore. She's had a good couple of seasons, I think. Which is weird to say. I hate changing sides, but I do it all the time. But I think Melissa's house is nicer, but I would stay at Dolores's house because, you know, Joe Gorga, like those pipes will break on top of an alarm clock and you'll get electrocuted.
It's probably the sink is a styrofoam, right?
you'll be standing in the shower and the entire thing will fall through a level and you'll break your head. Like, you just know it's not built right.
Yeah. We also think like Dolores would feed you like really well. She would cook. She cooks so
like
well.
Frank would. Yeah.
Frank would be a sandwich. Joe Gorga is slight, like he does have like kind of a gay, like, I'm drunk, bro, so let's, you know what, it's not gay if it's just a blowjob. Like he's got that kind of he's got that kind of energy. So that might be in my head a little bit, like, oh, I might get to see Joe Gorga's butt. Maybe it's worth getting electrocuted in my sleep on accident if I possibly get to see Joe Gorga's butt.
Also, I don't know why I had picked Dolores, but then the following episode they showed Joe like making everybody omelets on the blacktop on the
he was so good grill, at it.
And I was like, wait a minute.
When did this happen? When did Joe start cooking?
Yeah, maybe I want to stay here. Speaking of cooking, hot. Who do you think on Bravo is, obviously not including Top Chef, who do you think are some of the best cooks on Bravo? Like, let's just stick between Married to Medicine and Housewives. Like, whose meals are you trying to eat?
Well, Dorinda can cook. I've watched a bunch of her YouTube videos. Have you ever watched them?
No.
They're very funny. I mean, she'll be like, all right, here's how we're going to do the sticky pudding, okay? First, you get some sugar and you put it in your pan. Don't do it like that. And her camera's kind of wrong. And then she finishes, she'll finish the entire meal and then go, okay, and here it is. And it ends. And you're like, wait. And you have to, like, rewind it. Like, you have to rewind it and try and press pause at just the right time so you can see what the damn dish looks like in the end, you know. But she's actually a good cook. They're making Dandra look like a decent cook. Teresa, I'm not buying that
she doesn't burn down the house.
Yeah. You don't buy that Teresa's a good cook, huh?
I don't, because the rumors, and of course this is all nasty family gossip, but when Kathy and them were on, Kathy was saying in an interview, or somebody, I don't know, who knows, my brain is scrubbed, but I read somewhere that Teresa got all of her mother's or her grandmother's recipes and just copied the recipes, and that she's not really actually a good cook. I mean, she didn't know how to pronounce cumin, you know? Yeah. So I don't know that I believe that. Who else is there, you guys? Quad, I mean, Quad's the obvious choice. She's the only one we've ever seen really cook on Married to
Kim Madison, Richards, right? With the chicken salad.
No!
Now that, never eat that. Now that's how to get a tapeworm for real. Okay. You don't even need a mail order taper. Poison your ass with their dirty nails.
I think some of the housewives in Potomac can cook.
Yeah.
I think Giselle.
Popover is Giselle. That's why I got obsessed with Popovers.
Monique was always cooking. So,
yeah.
I don't believe that.
I think
Karen can cook. Karen did post a video around Thanksgiving of herself making some sort of like corn souffle. And I think she was really trying to show that she cooks the food, because the entire video she was like glam, but then she had like a dust of flour on her nose and she was like with Raven. And she was like, Raven, look at me cooking this thing. And it was like, okay, wait, you're not cooking it. Because why is there, you got lashes on. Like, what is this?
And why do you need to be seen as cooking it?
Have you watched her YouTube videos, Karen? The very first one was like, she starts talking about doing YouTube videos and she's going to do it in her closet or whatever. And then all of a sudden she's like, wait a minute, Ray is calling me. So she takes her phone with her and goes to the other room, and Ray is sitting there. He's working on his laptop and cannot open something up. So she's like, Ray couldn't open this file. He couldn't work his computer. So I'm trying to help him. I'm like, he's the black Bill Gates and he cannot work the computer.
No, he cannot.
That was it. That was the first video. It was so funny.
When was it?
3 or 4 months ago. Oh, I don't know if she's made more, but I have to go and look it up.
Oh my God, I will definitely check that out. I love
some hilarious.
I love it. Okay, so this was this question was submitted by Arthi for you specifically, which was which was
you're right there.
Arthi from whatever Arkansas has a question for you.
Yeah,
Arthi from Joe Gorga.
Yeah, Joe Gorga's butt in New Jersey has a question. No, she asked, "What's your favorite, absolute favorite thing to eat when you're feeling down? Because we've been depressed this year and we've been eating
pizza." Bread, pizza, cheese, any kind of bread. I will get white bread and just eat it with butter and be perfectly happy. Bread.
It's so good.
And bread. I love bread.
Bread with ghee is literally what I just had.
Bread and ghee.
Like 2 minutes
beautiful.
Ago.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I'll make some naan up in here or some tortillas if I'm desperate and I'm like, I'm not buying bread. This is the day I changed my life. And then it's like 11 at night and I'm like, I will make anything with flour in it. You know, and I just start like deep frying.
I said I'm not going to eat any bread. And I found myself the entire week looking up recipes for bread, like bread making recipes. You get into your brain and then all you can think of is bread.
Yeah.
And
shockingly, it's the only thing I can't really cook. I mean, I can make the, you know, like tortillas or naan, you know, easier things, but like a loaf of bread, I can't make that for shit. I'm terrible at it. That is just better to get from the store. But now that the stores deliver like Instacart, oh God, it's just so dangerous. My whole credit card bill is like Instacart, $60, Instacart. And it's bread and butter. It's fucking bread and butter. And now Cinnamon Toast Crunch, because that guy went on and said he found shrimp tails, which turned out probably is a lie. And that guy's like a monster rapist or something.
Yes.
Apparently. Yes. I'm not.
Allegedly.
Don't sue me.
Allegedly.
But then if I hear about anything, I instantly want it. So I heard Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And so I bought a Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And it was a giant box, which I didn't know. It was bigger than my upper body, and delicious. So I ate that for like 3 days. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, bread and butter.
We've seen some of your tortillas, and Arthi and I were talking about how like we're really disgraced because like as brown women, we're supposed to know how to make like really good roti, and like I can't make flatbread. I just
well
can't.
You be disgraced. I can make so awesome rotis. What are you talking about? I make rotis all the time. I'm Auntie Arthi,
My Indian food's decent because I watch this lady on YouTube, a little auntie on YouTube who's so good. I need to find her name for you. Well, I'll send it to you later. I don't want to start searching through YouTube. But her grandson or her son is like, okay, here we go. Are you ready? And he's just standing there with this little home camera. She's like, this is how you do it. And she pulls out her little food processor, and that's how she makes all her dough. She's like, you do not need KitchenAid, food processor. And she puts all the dough in there and just like, it's the hard, you know, the really sharp one. She doesn't care. She'll just make that dough right up. So I've learned a lot from her.
Oh, that's awesome. Maybe I could learn a thing or two because I don't know how to do any of that stuff.
She has a mother-in-law.
I do. I've got a mother-in-law in my house. I've got basically a bread maker in my house. My husband would die if I called her that. You know what? It's fine. My husband's the dishwasher and she's the bread maker. It's fine. So if you weren't podcasting. We talked so much about like how you guys got here and everything. I mean, if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing, Ronnie?
What would you want to do? Not what you would end up
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, don't be like real doing. Depressing about
not
like,
be like, oh, I would be waiting tables because no.
Well, maybe.
Like, what would you
I mean,
want to
I
do?
Might be waiting tables, but I would also still be doing other stuff. I've never just waited tables, you know? I mean, I've always done that to support whatever I've been wanting to do on the side or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was doing a lot of improv shows before this and loved it. And a lot of those people just went on to be actors, you know, like probably supporting actor in something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But we don't really have time for any of that, which is really weird because it's a podcast. So you'd think, oh, well, mm-hmm. you can do whatever you want, but you can't really, you know.
No.
So it's interesting. I guess we probably both think about that sometimes, but hopefully just acting or singing. I used to sing a lot. So I don't know. Doing musicals somewhere. I'd be in some regional theater somewhere doing something. I don't know. But I would be doing something. That's for damn sure.
I love when you guys break into it like a musical interlude in the middle of a episode. It's my favorite.
We really need to watch some new musicals because the both of us have seen the same ones that we've seen, we've mutually seen. It's like, how many times mm-hmm. can we do The Little Mermaid? We've done probably like 18 Bravo shows as The Little Mermaid, you know, where we've done like the entire Little Mermaid as Below Deck, or like the entire Little Mermaid as Real Housewives.
I love when you do the end of the day, whenever...
Do you hear it? I hear it every single time. They say it all, every single Housewives show. They're like,
at the end of the day. They always say, at the end of the day, and I could care less. That's two things that they always say that I'm like, yeah. Stop.
Yeah.
And then this is, I don't know if you want to share this or not, but I was wondering, what was your weirdest in-person Bravo celebrity run-in?
The weirdest one?
Just like
I think it was Jax. I think it was Jax walking in on you.
Well, that was just annoying because I had actually had a nightmare that happened because that's always that's you know there was just nerves about doing the comedy thing, the comedy festival anyway, or South by Southwest anyway. But I've always been afraid that I'm going to run into one of these people that I'm really mean to. And that they're going to punch me in the face. Because, you know, Jax would do that. Like, I feel like he would do that.
Yeah.
So then when I saw him walking up, I was like, really? This is the one dream I have that actually comes true? Like, I've actually had good dreams. But this is the one. That one was more annoying because I really just don't like him. And I just wanted to do our show. Like, it was a really good episode of the show. And I just wanted to finish because we finally got to the ending. And it was like this big climactic fight between the Toms and Jax. And then Jax came and ruined it all. So that sucked, but the weirdest I would say would be either Gretchen and Slade or Erica. Erica.
Oh, you've had Erica a run in with Erica. Tell us more.
Well, I went to this.
When was that?
I went to this. Well, first I went to the premiere of Beverly Hills with a friend of ours, the old queen of the bar. And so I went with her and we had a great time and I didn't talk to any of the housewives. I was like, I'm not even going to be fake because I'm not fake, you know, mm-hmm. and it's not like I have to be mean to them in real life, but I don't want to go up and be like, hi.
Yeah.
And like be that person who's just like kissing their butt when then I really just turn around and talk shit, which is what I would do. So I didn't do that. But then I saw her a few months later at this store opening. You know, they have like influencer days, mm-hmm. these store pop-up stores or whatever. And Old Queen in a Bar took me. And there were a bunch of Bravo people there that were all really cool. Like I met MJ there. And most of the people were really cool. And Erica was really cool, too. I know Mikey just from around gay bars and stuff, like just on a hello basis. And so I saw them and I was like, hey, Mikey. And she was fine. And I was writing really rude blogs at the time about Beverly Hills for Trash.TV. And so Lisa Rinna used to read those and she used to give those to Erica because at the time I thought Lisa Rinna was like hilarious. Like she really wasn't a villain yet.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so I didn't have anything really that bad to say about her. So of course she liked it. But then Erica, of course, it was like all about Tom Girardi's balls almost suffocating her to death. And you know, I would just write these horrible. Just so classless, you know, because they're really crude. And so she'd read them. And so Lisa was like, oh, hey, this is the guy who writes those things. And she's like, oh, you're wicked. You're wicked, aren't you? I'm wicked. And kind of acted like that. And then that was it. And Ben said, I was texting Ben because he didn't go to this thing. I'm like, you should have come because Erica's here. We've never seen Erica before. And he said, Ronnie, I know this is going to you're not going to want to do this, but you have to go get a picture with Erica. Like, everyone will die. And I was like, please don't make me. He said, go do it. Just suck it up and do it. So as she left, I was like, I know this is so tacky because I make fun of you and stuff, but can I get your picture for Instagram? And she goes, and why do you do that? And I said, do what? She said, why do you think that's funny the way that you talk about it? You know, she kind of got in my face and I was like, oh. I just said, well, you know, you have an art form that people may not understand. You know I make fun of it a lot. And our art form is, you know, it's an old internet tradition of just no matter what you see on the screen, you could be watching a nun and you just drag her. You grab her by the fucking hair and you drag her across the crucifix, you know, like whoever it is, you just drag. And it's like a roast, you know. And she went, oh, okay. And then she posed for the picture and left. But that was the most scared I ever was.
Oh, you're actually scared. I mean, I believe that that would be her because I don't know if you remember a couple months ago, she like posted a picture and an influencer was like, hey, I made that meme. Can you credit me? Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, she just like went bananas and was like being so mean and everybody like roasted her.
Like, why don't you thank me? I just got your stupid artwork some attention, huh? Right? But I have to say, like, at least she's real. Like, she was real. Like, she wasn't mean. Yeah. She was just, she confronted it, but she wasn't, she didn't hit me or anything. And then when I explained it, she's like, oh, okay, cool. So it ended up being okay. But I was, I almost pooped myself for sure. I was like, oh my God, Erica, you do
that
not
was a
ever...
good answer that you gave on the spot. That's a good answer. I would have been like, oh, but, I don't know.
I'd be like, Ben makes
because
me do
it. Funny? Because it's funny? I don't know.
Yeah. Ben makes me do it. I swear to God, he's not here. I can't defend myself.
I'm the nice one.
Yeah. All right. I don't have any other questions, Arthi. I went through all of them.
Oh, my goodness.
And I wish I had more so I could just keep Ronnie on and keep talking to him.
Yeah, I know, right?
This is really fun, you guys. Well, thanks for having us on here.
Yeah, and like, I really, like, I don't want to make it, you know, watch what sappens and like get all sad over here. But like,
sad.
But like,
don't
I mean, like,
sappy.
Just like, you know, I get emotional thinking about it. Like, but I will never forget the first time that I went to go see you guys live in the city, which was 2018. It was the first time that I was actually leaving my house to do a thing just for myself after my son's treatment. And it was really, really special because I was like, I've not done that in a year because I've been like tied to a hospital bed. And like, it's, you know, I said it before, there's all these things I feel like happen in the universe that align to get me to the point where I am right now. But like, that was just another one of those moments where like, I felt like I could be me. It was like, I've had so many moments through Crappens where I felt good about who I am. And
you really are a good group of people. Like, the way that you guys rally around each other and help each other out, the way that you guys helped Violet, you know, that was always
I was about to say that,
you know, you guys are just, there's like a really good core group of people, and we're super lucky, and we don't, you know, we're actually asked about it a lot. People are like, how did that happen? Because like, we went to your Facebook and everyone knows each other and they're like so nice to each other. And we're like, we have no idea, but you know, we love it. And I read it every day like it's my newspaper. So I know everybody's business and like who's mad at who on there.
It's so fun, isn't it?
But even it's truly like a family, because even if you're mad, you make up and you're still there and you, you know, help each other out and you forgive people and move on and the ones that we don't forgive, we throw them out of the family and then we never speak of them ever again.
Oh, yeah,
we have a few of those.
Arthi called it, like, she said the Crappens group is like Gina's casita. Because it's so crowded. There's lots of people. There's live, laugh, love everywhere. You know, there's lots of things.
There's like a lot of gather signs, but also people sobbing gather in corners. And you're like, wait a second.
Right. Bad hair.
Fireplaces.
But we don't talk about it. Yeah. But no, I wanted to just thank you for keeping Violet's memory going, because she was an absolute person. I met through Crappens again. I met her through Crappens, but she just, for the people in the Baltimore, D.C. area, some of us, she just took over our lives with how just how sweet she was, right?
Yeah.
So, and she gave so much more to a lot of people before she was taken away. But her mother still listens to you guys, by
oh,
the
really?
Way. And she... Oh, yes, cool. And she loves the fact that you keep her alive in your announcements. Aww. So she just loves that. So
well,
she...
yeah, it's crazy. Well, it's crazy how time really kind of flies, but not really. I mean, it's been so mm-hmm. many years, and we all kind of know each other and know each other's business and what everybody's been through. And then if you think about what everybody in that group was going through at the time, and like how far everybody's mm-hmm. come, and like babies and gotten married and. That's crazy to see all that.
Yeah. It's been 10 years of me following you guys. So it's been a long time.
Oh my gosh. This has been a long yeah. time. And I'm like, how come everybody else looks the same? Like, how am I the only person like doesn't look the same?
Like, how come I have like these three rings under my chin, right? Like double
like
and triple chin.
Same. I mean, how am I the only one who Uncle Festered out? Everybody else looks exactly the same. Like Adam's family.
No, I don't look the same, but
well, thank you so much, Ronnie. And
well, thank you guys. Congratulations. I'm so excited for you guys.
We would not be here. We truly would not be here without you guys. And we love you so much. And if you don't know where to listen and watch what crappens, then you don't deserve to listen to Bravo Podcast because
yes. yes.
Just hang up right now.
Why are you even here?
Why are you
do you even go here?
Yeah. I, exactly. Yeah. I think I'm gonna make a two-parter out of this so that we don't have to record again later in the week.
Sounds good to me.
Content.
God,
thank you so much, Ronnie.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for being generous with your time. Yes. And for Ben, too. Thank you, Ben, for being so generous with your time.
Thank you, guys. We're really excited for you. Keep kicking ass out there. And I'll see you in a few minutes on Facebook. I'm sure.